Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're talking to Stafford County Schools this morning, and we're going to talk about construction and just a lot of exciting things going on with that. And we've got just a great show ahead to keep up to date on what's happening with Stafford County Schools. Chris Fulmer is here, the acting superintendent, and Jason Towery, the chief facilities officer for Stafford County Schools. Good morning to both of you. Good to have you
morning.
Here this morning. Busy time as far as just the construction side of things, and Chris, yesterday, groundbreaking for what, elementary school number 19?
Yeah, so great day. We actually had great weather yesterday for the groundbreaking for elementary school 19 up in the north, and just a couple weeks ago, we actually broke ground on elementary school 18 down in the south.
This just shows there's growth, there's the need to do all this and to fund all of this. And I know when you talk about funding schools, you do have to. It's a partnership in so many ways with the community, with the Board of Supervisors, and to put something like this together.
Yeah, so we were definitely kind of falling behind on the construction side for a few years, and a great partnership this last year made a lot of strides with the Board of Supervisors. So school board working with the Board of Supervisors, a lot of support from the community staff, working with the school board to really show that need to the Board of Supervisors. And so over the last couple of years, we've seen these new schools make their way into our capital improvement plan, the CIP. So we have three new schools all coming in August of 2026. And that's really to catch us up to where we should be. So we're still going to have to add some more schools, but those three schools will kind of catch us back up for the years of growth that we've had. Last year, we were actually the fastest growing school division in the state. Just shows, we're adding about 600 or 700 students a year on average. So we're still growing rapidly. Doesn't sound like a lot, but about 2% growth each year, up over 32,000 students now.
And that just that amount, just that 2%, like you say, it starts adding up.
Yep. Yeah. So like I said, that 2% equates to about 600 or 700 students a year, more than any other school division in the state percentage wise, and really almost per student wise. A lot of the bigger school divisions that we think of last year actually lost students. They started, losing 50, 100 students over the year before, which is natural. You can have a little bit of kind of cohort progression where your senior class maybe is a little bit bigger than your kindergartners coming in. That's just not what we're seeing in Stafford, and we still have a lot of growth.
I guess, so is that something that you you do really track, kindergarten and all on up, because as kindergartners become middle school and middle school becomes high school?
Yeah, so we have Mr. White, Lionel White, is our director of does all of our enrollment projections and our GIS planning. And so he has been phenomenal with his accuracy, exceeds really any metric for tracking and how accurate he is, which has been great for us because it earns respect of the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors really respects Mr. White and his enrollment projections. And so we're starting to get more belief in those projections, and that we're not just fudging numbers to try to build schools. We're all, we're taxpayers. I live in Stafford County, so I want to keep those tax rates as low as possible as well, but we need to fund the important things. And our school buildings and our schools operating budget are critical to having a great county here in Stafford. So our enrollment projections have shown that growth, and we've really been pretty accurate. We'll kind of recap our enrollment projections for this year, but the hardest one to project is that kindergarten cohort, because you're just going based on births and some enrollment trends of the past. A little preview, we were really close on that enrollment projections for kindergarten within just a couple of students. So I'm excited to share that probably next month when Lionel, Mr. White, releases those updated numbers.
Exciting stuff. So Jason, all of this, this means you're a really busy person these days.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a lot going on in facilities and maintenance. It's interesting because Stafford's in this peculiar pinch point where we've got a lot of growth, but we also have a lot of older infrastructure that needs to be updated and maintained. But, you know, with the high school and the two elementary schools that are getting ready to come online, you know, that's a huge investment into this community. I think a little over $300 million in total capital investment over the next couple of years that we're working through right now. As Chris talked about, a lot of students that are coming into Stafford County over are already here and are coming in over the next few years. I think between all three schools, it's well over 4,000 new seats that we're adding, which is just huge. And it's not every day that you get to open one school, much less three in a year. But we've got our hands full. We've got a great group of folks on our end that are working hard every day, making sure that we're, you know, doing this right. I think it's important to point out too, and Chris alluded to this before, with, you know, kind of capturing the confidence of the community in what we're doing. You know, we were very excited when we opened the bids on 18 and elementary school 19, that both of those came in about $10 million a piece under budget. So it's $20 million of savings that we were able, you know, to get to. And we believe that, you know, we want to show the community that we're spending those public funds wisely.
Well, and we haven't seen, it's so interesting, because in the 80s and 90s is when a lot of, there was so much building of schools. There hasn't been, but now the city's building the elementary school. You've got the building going on in Stafford. Just because of growth, it's necessary again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, too, we're starting to see, you know, a lot of those facilities that were built in the 80s or 90s, some of them for us that were built back in the 60s, are at a major renovation stage where they need a lot of reinvestment, or some of them are coming up on end of life. And so that's part of what you're seeing, too, is a lot of this infrastructure around us that not only needs to be expanded, but also replaced or have major work done on it.
Well, when you talk about the numbers, just the growth numbers that Chris talked about, this, you have to go this way, because otherwise, I mean, we've all seen with what we, if you don't, you have trailers and you have to make do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, over the last couple summers, we have added about 68 trailers around the division. But our hope is, and our intention with those is to be a bridge, to help bridge this gap that we're in right now. And I we're seeing that, you know, from the community, that they want to invest in the schools. So we're very excited for that. Certainly a lot of job security moving forward.
Yeah, but boy, but just the growth and these numbers of schools, it's a huge investment.
Yeah.
But it's needed, like you say.
Yeah, big shout out again, as Chris mentioned earlier, to the community and to the Board of Supervisors and obviously the school board, and looking forward and trying to you know, see these things coming down the road. So as we look past those three new schools, we've got the Drew Middle School replacement that's just on the horizon. We just are in interviews yesterday looking for our architects and engineers to start working on that. So that's projected right now to open in 2028, you know, a school that is over 70 years old. Has served us well as a high school, and more recently as a middle school, but it's time, you know, it's time to go ahead and give that community a new facility.
For communities that do get a new facility, because I know there was the work that was done recently at Ferry Farm, and these schools do get older, and in some, rather than having you can't rebuild everything, but to be able to update these schools is a huge thing.
Yeah, and Ferry Farm is a great example of maybe we should have taken a different approach there. So we did a renovation there. It was not well funded. We should have actually done a rebuild. It's what the school board ultimately wanted to do originally. And at the time, there just wasn't support there overall from the Board of Supervisors. So we had to go a renovation route, but it was really just some patchwork stuff. And you take the worst part of the building and you try to invest $10 million into it. Really, ultimately better spent money would have been a rebuild over a long term. So we saved some money short term, and it's costing us in the long term. We still have some roof issues. We're going to have to do some roof work there on areas of the building that we didn't get to renovate before. So we've had to continue to invest there. And some of these older buildings, when they get to 60, 70 years old, they require a lot of money invested back into them. And so we have to do analysis of whether it makes sense to invest $10, $15, $20 million into a renovation of a school, or should we just rebuild the school for $40 million, ballpark, and then get, you know, another 60 years out of it instead of just extending the life 10 or 15 years for a $10, $15, $20 million investment.
Right. Yep, these are tough issues when, each individual, because we all saw the debate with the Board of Supervisors and the school board over the rebuild or the new building of Stafford High School. So
yeah.
There are all kind of, every school, I guess, has its challenge.
Yeah, and we're just hitting that critical point where we have a lot of older buildings.
Right.
Because we've had so much growth over the years. We went through periods in the 90s of a lot of growth. Well, now we're getting to the point where those buildings are 25, 30 years old, and now there's a lot of decision points to make there as well.
Yeah. Quick break. We're going to come back. We're talking building in Stafford County Schools. Lots going on with capital projects. Jason Towery is here along with Chris Fulmer. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Chris Fulmer, Jason Towery in this morning from Stafford County Schools. We are talking about the capital projects going on, and a lot of them going on with Stafford County Schools. Elementary 19, Jason, was the... Well, let's just talk about the three schools that you are building and where they're located.
Sure, yeah. So Elementary 19, where we had the groundbreaking yesterday, it's right next to Brook Point High School.
Okay.
So we've worked out a plan of how that'll coordinate on that same campus there. It'll be really kind of a unique experience for families in that area. Your student can literally go from elementary to right next door is Stafford Middle School, so elementary to middle to high school right on the same campus, you know, should they choose to be with us their entire K-12 progression. So a great investment in that community out there. Elementary 18 and high school 6 are going off of Truslow Road and the Route 17 along the Route 17 corridor. So we're actually constructing a new connector road that will connect Route 17 to Truslow, if you're familiar with where the Royal Farms is on Route 17.
Yeah.
Right through there, you can actually see it already. We've already got the trees down, and we're making that connection come through. Probably have that opening up here and within the next, certainly when the time of school opens, but those two schools will open together there on that campus in 2026.
I remember being at the groundbreaking for that, and I had not even been in that area, and it's just all of a sudden you're driving and boom.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
There's a school there, yeah. No, it's pretty, the rate and the pace at which we're constructing these, and it's been pretty awesome to watch it unfold from, you know, taking the trees down to doing all this great work out there. It's going to be an amazing investment.
I need to go out there sometimes. Sometimes you and I should go out there and walk around, just because I haven't been out there in a long time. But I know for the groundbreaking, and that, a lot of trees have been cleared. It's always interesting when you go to these sites where there's going to be a school, because you try to imagine. You know, somebody will say that's where the football field's going to be. I can never imagine it.
Right. Yeah. So it is, and sometimes, you know, as we meet with the community, it's hard for them to get their head around what's happening. But definitely. You know, going to be a great facility out there. So it'll have obviously full complement of amenities of a typical high school with everything there. We're looking to make some connections to the local community there through pedestrian paths and so forth to try and, you know, help out with making sure our kids have good routes to school.
And Jason, can you expand a little bit on right now we're actually starting to get walls up on High School 6, so you can really start to see it kind of take its own life, have some parking lots forming up. So Ted, if you can join Jason out there one time and take a visit, it'd be phenomenal.
I'd love to
get
that.
A little inside look at it.
No, so we do regular aerial footage of the site as well, which we try to post up to our social media and on our website so folks can track the progression of construction a little more real time. But absolutely, we'd love to have you out there, take a tour of the facilities. Just bring your boots, and we'll get them a little muddy for you.
I'm sure you will. So is this like building a house, I guess, for you, of just going? Do you go nearly every day just to sort of analyze what's going on?
No, not every day. We've got a great team of folks that are out there on the site okay. every day. And then we have, I'm out there probably about once a week, at most every other week, to monitor progression. And then, of course, you know, having regular meetings definitely on a weekly basis about progress out there. But I'm always amazed every time I go out there at how quickly it's progressing. You know, yeah. as Chris said, you know, you go out there now, there's walls going up, there's parking lots being paved, and that happens pretty quickly. Once we get mobilized and going, things move quick.
And most importantly, it's on time and under budget right now. So yeah. We are well on track to still open in August of 2026.
Yep. Finding land is always a challenge. Is that something that you're even looking forward to? I mean, obviously, you have to have some kind of a master plan looking way ahead than what even we're talking about this morning, and probably are always looking for land sites.
That is a great point. I wish we were farther ahead than we were looking ahead. These three schools, we were really playing catch up because of when the schools actually get funded and approved,
yeah.
And we get money available, that's when we start looking. And our plan really is we should be looking 5 or 10 years out. So if we know that Elementary School 20 is coming in 5, 6, 7 years, we should already have land available now and acquired. And so we have done a better job of that now. We're already looking forward. Problem is now we're building three schools and doing so much work on 3R maintenance work at the yeah. schools that takes a lot of time to find land in Stafford County. There's still a lot of land available in Stafford, surprisingly, but unsurprisingly, it's not all great land. So finding good pieces of yeah. land in the right spots in urban service area, which basically means it has public water, public sewer, that's been the challenge for us most recently. And then finding good land, right? So the topography and makeup of that dirt needs to be good for a school site. You know, any piece of land we can make work, it's just how expensive is it going to be to construct?
And we're not the only ones in Stafford pursuing and purchasing right. land. You know, I mean, you watch about some of not only the housing commercial development, but the data center development and so forth that's looking,
yeah.
you know. So we're kind of competing, you know, to find these appropriate pieces of land. So it's a challenge right now. Sure.
So you were talking, Jason, you mentioned just a few minutes ago about the work being done at Drew Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the kind of thing going on that you like to get comments from the community and get the community involved?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for bringing that up. I think so. The Drew Middle School, you know, especially over the next 3 months, and we kind of kicked this process off last night formally with our board for the community input process. We talked with them about what that's going to look like. We're going to be sending out some surveys to our Drew community to really try to get a little bit of feedback from them about, you know, what's going to be important to you as we, you know, construct the Drew replacement school. But also we definitely want to hear from the community at large. So there's opportunities, you know, either through, you know, our social media or through Facebook and other ways to reach out to us to let us know, you know, what is it that's important to you. We know, of course, that being fiscally responsible and delivering, you know, safe, secure spaces for these kids is paramount, right? But it'll be those finer details, you know, that we want to make sure we're hearing back from the community on. So there'll be some opportunities for that, especially over the next 3 months. And then we'll look to kick off the actual formal design later this year, early next year. It'll take us about 1 year to get through the design and permitting process, maybe a little bit more. But ultimately, we're hoping to advertise for that and break ground on that in early 2026.
Oh, okay. So this is the chance. If
right.
you're part of the Drew Middle School community,
absolutely.
This is the chance to pay attention and to be involved in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll we're going to be very intentional about reaching out to the community and seeking that input. But, you know, our doors are open. We want to hear from folks. And, yeah, this is the chance.
Hey, we haven't built a middle school in quite some time and haven't done a design process for a middle school. So you can't just take the old design from 20 years ago and dust it off and redo it. There's been a lot of changes. So we've got to really update that design, and we want community input for that.
Well, and mentioning that, because when Jason just talked about safe and secure, you just think that so much has changed just with the security. We used to be able to just walk into a school, go into the office and, you know, ask what you need to, you know, or pick up your kids. The security in schools, unfortunately, has changed so much in recent years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, even 10 or 15 years ago, we were doing improvements to our high schools to add security vestibules in the front of the school to make sure that there was a safe entry point into the school before they had access to the full school. So those sort of new things are taken into account as we go through the design process and, you know, making sure there's clear line of sight in our hallways and, you know, things like that we have to take into consideration. But you're right. It's definitely a changing environment out there from, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And so it's time to update those designs and, you know, adjust.
And I wasn't even paying attention, but you're right. I mean, the difference between a high school and a middle school and an elementary school, the amount of land, just the way the building has to be, they're all different.
Yeah, you know, different parcels of land, size of land that we need, and makeup of that land obviously is different for each one. Obviously, gets a little bit bigger as you get into the upper age groups. You know, high school, we'd like to have, you know, roughly 80 acres kind of is the minimum there. Middle school, maybe 40, and elementary school, we can 20-25, but we've also started to adjust our designs to try to take up less land. So like our elementary schools are going to a three-story design on the academic wing, and so that takes up requires a little bit less land because we're going up instead of out. It's also more cost efficient, which has been our key for all of our designs.
One of the things that I think about is that it's exciting to be talking about all these new schools, and we likely wouldn't be doing a program if all you were doing is, you know, working on the roof and, you know, paving, you know, doing. I mean, that's all the maintenance stuff is stuff you have to do. But we're right now, like you said, really in a spot where there's really significant building going on. And I think all area schools, even if they're not doing it right now, they're going to be following what Stafford's having to do.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, with as we're rebuilding the schools, we're looking to not only, you know, make security improvements, safety improvements, but also to look to the future, expand capacity. So the Drew Middle School design, as an example, right now, Drew Middle School has about 650 students. Our new middle school design will accommodate about 1,100 students, which will be a little more typical of what our middle schools are in our other communities right now as well. But about $113 million to design and construct that school, again, looking to open in 2028. Very excited to be working on that.
But. And when you say 2028 and you think, well, that's a few years away, but boy, the way
it's time right around the
goes.
Corner. Yeah. Right around the corner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're only 2 years away from opening three new schools.
Right.
And then shortly after that, we're only 2 years away from then of opening Drew Middle School. And then hopefully not long after that, we're, you know, Hartwood Rebuild and ES20 and a few other schools as well.
We'll get into all that when we come back. We got to take a quick break. We'll continue on this morning. Chris Fulmer and Jason Towery here this morning. Stafford County Schools, the capital part of the construction part of Stafford Schools, our focus this morning. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford County Schools and the construction side of things this morning. Good stuff with Chris Fulmer and Jason Towery this morning. Chris, you mentioned Hartwood, and I guess as we talk about older schools and as we've talked about, you know, replacing the, you know, Drew Middle School, and so Hartwood came to mind. That's another one of the older ones. Is that's on a list for
Yeah, that's
you're looking at.
Yes, that's on the our capital improvement plan list to be rebuilt as well. We're shooting for is it 2028?
2028.
Yeah. Jason is the plan for Hartwood, and so well that'll be the next elementary school on the list to be replaced, and so that'll be one of the key points of emphasis that as we go into the budget season with the Board of Supervisors, and honestly, it was funded a few years ago, so I think there's going to be support from the Board of Supervisors for that. We also have not to shift too far off of Hartwood, and we'll come back to it, but we also have Rising Star. It's one of our early childhood special education centers.
Is that the ones over on 17?
Yeah. It's the old like Melchers complex. And it's been several different schools over the years, and for several years it's been our early childhood center, the one that we have in the South. And that building is in rough shape. And it is our oldest building. It was built in the 1930s. So we're approaching that 100-year century mark. So if we're still there, we're going to have a big celebration. Hopefully we can get out of there before then or have that replacement.
That I've never been inside. I've just been outside, and yeah, that is it's a much older structure.
And as you can imagine, it comes with lots of maintenance and upkeep costs right now, and so it's been a struggle just to keep it in a condition that's, you know, you talk about safety, a little bit of a different aspect of safety there, but we want the environmental needs, you know, to be met there as well. And like I said, it is getting old, and just the pipes and plumbing. Everything is really, really starting to show its age. So we can do some upgrades and replace some mechanical equipment, but it's really hard to get down and replace kind of the guts and behind the walls stuff in that building. I mean, at this point, it's just not really economically viable to do those repairs, and so it desperately needs a replacement.
Well, it's interesting, just on your side, Jason, of having to keep up with these things. Having new buildings obviously is easier. You're not dealing with pipes and roofs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. When we go out to some of these older facilities and something's gone wrong, just being able to find the replacement parts and components and pieces that either aren't made anymore. We've had situations where we have to go and have custom parts and pieces made. We go down to the machine shop and say, can you make something that looks like this, and that takes time, and that time means that our facility is maybe offline. We've had a few occasions at some of these where we've been pretty fortunate, able to get them back online pretty quickly, but we've had some occasions where portions of buildings have been shut down for a few weeks. The Melchers one comes to mind. We had a portion of the wall down there that started falling, and we had to shut down the gymnasium for a couple weeks last year. Able to get that fixed, but those are the types of things that impact not only the kids, but in that case the community. That particular one was used by Parks and Rec and community facilities quite a bit, so that impacted everybody else who wanted to be able to come in and use that facility as well.
Well, the other thing too, when you think about it, I mean, there is a difference in if your kids are going to an older school, and I mean, there's newer schools just have newer things.
Yeah, it's night and day difference when you walk into some of the newer facilities versus the older ones. And of course, at the end of the day, I mean, these teachers and our building administrators do an amazing job of taking whatever they're given and making it a great environment for the students. But it's difficult sometimes to be able to take some of these older facilities and make them do what we're asking our current educators to do. So
and it's funny because Hartwood, obviously, as we mentioned, is the next elementary school that's due to be replaced. It's our only school that's still on well and septic. So we actually ran into a problem a couple of years ago where we had some plumbing issues that some parts break down, and we actually had to send kids home early because we had no running water in the school, which, as you can imagine, create some difficulties with some of our youngest learners there, our elementary school kids that we can't use the bathrooms and flush those toilets, so definitely created an issue. We can't prepare lunches if you don't have warm running water. And so we actually had to cancel school and send kids home early a couple of years ago because of some plumbing issues with the water lines there. Mm-hmm. So obviously we want to get away from that. And with the rebuild of Hartwood Elementary School, it would be rebuilt in that urban service area where we have running public water and sewer. So looking forward to that. It takes away some of the risks that we run into at Hartwood now, being one of our oldest schools. But You know, some of the actual pushback that we get with Hartwood is the community there likes that old school
they
feel.
They do, yeah. That's an interesting. Having done some things there with that school, that's an interesting situation.
Yeah,
there.
And maybe I don't remember it as well, but I don't think we had some of that same pushback at Ferry Farm. But some of the community at Hartwood, they're like, no, don't rebuild our school. We love our school the way it is because my grandparents went here. You know, that sort of feeling. So it definitely is a community feel there. Principal Raska, who was our principal of the year last year, phenomenal.
Totally.
Does a great job of making the most of that school. And builds that fantastic community that we have there. Mm-hmm. So definitely needs a rebuild. I don't think we're going to just tear down that old building. Yeah. We'll have to find some use for it. Maybe it's some early childhood kids because we're growing out of those spaces as well. But something that has a little bit less stress on that well and septic.
Yeah, well, and you just think of we talk about just the maintenance end of things of these schools. To have a newer facility, you won't have the maintenance costs that you have.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Obviously, newer equipment, it has a lifespan where the maintenance is less than some of the older equipment. But also, just in terms of even some of the equipment out there I mentioned before, not only being able to find the components, but there's certain skill sets and even people who can work on the equipment that we can't find anymore. And so there's an expense for that when that occurs. I think one of the other things that we don't want to lose sight of, too, is that there's not only an inconvenience and reliability factor, but there's some safety issues when we talk about some of these older facilities. You know, we've had a couple of failures at our facilities over the past few years where it's raised some eyebrows and we've had to say, wow, that was a little too close for comfort. And, I think that's something that kind of keeps us up a little bit at night sometimes, because, we all obviously want to send our kids to environments that we, have a high level of confidence in. And there's some issues in some of the facilities right now that, we feel is important that we need to address just from a safety perspective as well.
Jason and I both send all six of our kids combined to Stafford County schools. So Jason actually has two kids at Hartwood Elementary School, right? And so he sees firsthand, kind of that community feel that we have there and the need to replace that school. We're both vested in this as well, want to see these schools rebuilt and the best learning environment for all the students in Stafford.
I guess with all these schools means that there will at some point need to be redistricting to be able to allocate people to where they best can be. Or you can allocate where students go.
Yep, absolutely. So we're actually in the middle of the high school redistricting process right now. So even though those schools for high schools, it opens in August of 2026, or all three of these schools open in August of 2026, we start the high school redistricting first because of some of the aspects of we want to get the new students assigned. It gives them a couple of years to acclimate to, hey, I'm going to go to a new school or I'm going to have to change. It ends up being a full county redistricting because we're not just taking kids from a couple of schools and they're going to go to the new school. We're going to have shifts between existing schools too. So Colonial Forge boundaries right now is we have students all the way down off of Route 17 that goes all the way up to Courthouse Road to Colonial Forge.
Oh, really?
We actually, if you were to look at our attendance zones, we have an island down in the south. And that was to balance enrollment over the years.
Yeah.
We actually have over 800 kids, high school kids, that live down off of Route 17 that go all the way up to Colonial Forge. That's a strain on those parents, but it's a strain on our transportation system because now that's 800 students that we have to transport that it could be 30 or 40 minutes in a car, and now we have to throw them on a bus make a couple stops and make their way all the way up to Colonial Forge. And so that redistricting, those 800 students are not going to stay at Colonial Forge, which means now we have to find 800 students to put back into Colonial Forge, or maybe 500 or 600 because we don't want it to be at capacity when it opens. But there's definitely going to be a shift there. So we're going to have some students from North Stafford that will shift into Colonial Forge. We'll have some students from Brook Point that will shift into Colonial Forge. So not every student that gets redistricted is only going to go to high school number 6.
So a
little bit different aspect there than maybe what we see in some brand new school redistrictings. Over the past, at least for the high school groups. So it creates some opportunities for balancing the redistricting. Right now, all of our schools are over capacity. High schools were about 105% at capacity. So we need these additional seats to open up, but we've got to spread those students out. So it's going to be a challenge, but we've had two community meetings so far, and the board has talked about it during work sessions at least three times now. We have another community meeting on October 30th. Will be our third of the three community meetings that we hold, and we'll also have a public hearing, a time for our parents to come and share directly to the board in a public hearing model at our school board meetings. And then our school board looks to make a final decision in December. And that kind of sets us up for, we can assign those students, and then leading into that, we can select a principal, and we have to start doing our naming and mascot and color selections. But we want the students that are going to that school to be able to weigh in on that process. Yeah. We want to finish the redistricting first.
Yeah, no, especially for high school, get people ready, because everybody's at a different stage, and it's tough. These obviously are tough things, and I know that does a computer do a lot of this, or do you sit down with maps and you're looking street to street?
Oh yeah, 100%. So it is all actually starts with Lionel White, and he takes a look at all of our attendance boundaries and what makes sense. We have to balance the enrollment at all five of those schools, and we look at our 5 and 10 year projections so that, it might balance in year one, but what does it look like 5 years from now, because we still have growth in the county. So if we know we're going to have more growth, let's say in the Brook Point attendance zone, we don't want Brook Point to start at 98% capacity on day one, because in 2 or 3 years they're going to be back up to 102%.
And you're doing the same thing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have to look ahead a little bit, and Mr. White does that, and our board looks at that, and trying to balance all five and what will be 6 high schools in 2026.
So interesting, yeah, because you have to look at what at either things that the Board of Supervisors, housing developments that they've proposed, and it's complicated.
Yeah, so luckily Mr. White does a phenomenal job on our enrollment projections, and so he's working on those now. We update those. We do 10-year projections, but we update them each year for little tweaks. And so we know that now that it's a September to September 30th enrollment projection. So we just hit that September 30th. He's taking those final counts. He gets data from the county on all our active residential developments and all those projects. And so at the end of October, he'll release updated enrollment projections based on another year in the books. And we're adding, over that 10 years, about 6,000 more students over that 10-year span. So averaging about, as I mentioned earlier, about 600 students per year over that 10 years. So we're still growing, so we're not done yet. And these schools that we're adding now are a little bit of playing catch up. So we're already over capacity at elementary and high school, and we're approaching it for middle school. So these two elementary schools and high school catch us up, and then now we have to look at, we're going to have to add schools in the next few years as well to get back ahead. So as those students come, there's already seats waiting for them, so that we're not, so we can start to transition out of the trailer modular classrooms that we have out there right now.
Mm-hmm. You can just see the growth on just with all the in all localities, just the high schools. Because I just remember when it was Stafford and North Stafford. And you start adding, you're just looking at high schools. You just see what growth has done.
Yeah. So funny story. I was I'm a Colonial Forge graduate, but I started at North Stafford. So I had my entire K-12 education in Stafford County Schools, but I attended 5 different schools. So I had 2 different elementary schools, 2 different high schools, and so I was here for all of that growth. In the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. And so I've seen that. And so I was actually redistricted. So I was the first graduating class from Colonial Forge. And I didn't want to leave North Stafford, right? And so I was in that same boat. I understand what these students are going through and making those difficult decisions and how to adjust to those decisions that the school board ultimately has to make. So it's an interesting point of view that I have, because I've been there, and I've been in those schools when they were packed. I remember walking through those North Stafford hallways, and you are shoulder to shoulder, you're shimmying through the hallways. And North Stafford's a great example of, it has smaller hallways than our other schools, right? It's now our oldest high school. in the early 80s when it was constructed. And so our hallways are narrower than they were than our other schools that are built now.
Interesting stuff. Chris Fulmer and Jason Tower here this morning as we talk about building in Stafford County with Stafford County Schools. One final break and we'll wrap this up this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Stafford County Schools and the construction side of things this morning with Jason Towery and Chris Fulmer. Chris, you mentioned early part of the show about 2% growth. It starts adding up. That's a lot of people.
Yeah. So that 2%, you know, equates to, you know, between 600 and 700 students a year, and continues to grow. And that is, and when you really think about it, it's almost an entire elementary school that we're adding each year. And total number of students. Now those students are split up between elementary, middle, and high. But you can imagine, it only takes a couple years for elementary to need another school. Mm-hmm. And so those two new schools that we're adding in 2026, as I mentioned, that's playing catch up. So we really needed those schools a few years ago to eliminate the need for trailers, and so we use trailers to bridge the gap. But we have, you know, over 13,000 elementary school students, and that number is continuing to grow, several hundred a year. So we have to continue to expand, and as we look forward, we either need to add additional elementary schools, we need to rebuild our existing schools, and when we rebuild those, some of those older schools, they have smaller capacity right now. So when we rebuild them, we can rebuild them as kind of what we consider a full-size elementary school now. And so we can add 400 or 500 seats there. So we're not just, you know, investing to rebuild the school. We're also adding capacity there to handle the growth going forward.
And so, Jason, when you look at some of these outer years, I mean, what else are you looking at besides what we have talked about today?
Yeah, no, great question. And Chris mentioned some of the rebuilds. So you look at, like, Falmouth, Grafton Village, Stafford Elementary, Ferry Farm, those are all, you know, at or nearing the end of life where they need to be rebuilt. So as we look at those would be replacements at a larger capacity. But then we also think about, and it's hard to believe, you know, we're talking about elementary school 20, finding a piece of land for that. Middle school 9 and high school 7, we're already looking for pieces of land for that. You know, so as we're, you know, finishing up and, you know, working through high school 6, we're already looking ahead to those other schools. So some, you know, challenges ahead of us, not only in terms of looking for the land and projecting those budgets correctly, and then future redistricting that will come with that, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's a very dynamic time. And one of the things I've really enjoyed about being with the schools is just this opportunity that we have. It feels like a generational impact that we're able to make right now with a lot of this type of work that we're doing. So it's really an exciting, challenging time, but exciting time as well.
When you go to schools and you look at the plate, you know, that gives the who was on the school board or the mm-hmm. board of supervisors. Yeah. It is interesting when you look at it and you look at that and you really are. This is a generational kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a mark in time. These facilities, you know, think back to the three schools we're building right now. Just over the next 50 years, like about 50,000 students that'll come through those doors, right? And, you know, all of those students will experience what we're doing here and now. And, you know, then they'll have students and kids of their own that will, you know, so it's just this ongoing impact. It's pretty neat.
The next Chris Fulmer will be here talking about how this year, you know, he was at Brook Point and it was overcrowded and the new school opened and...
Well, my son, named Chris Fulmer, is at Colonial Forge right now, actually, experiencing that same overcrowding that I did back, you know, 20-some years ago.
As we talk about this, it is important for the community. If you've got kids in Stafford County Schools, these are important issues, and whether it's going to the meetings about redistricting or going before the Board of Supervisors and talking about the need for funding for more schools or other issues.
Yeah, so definitely encourage. We're doing a lot more community engagement sessions, whether it's about our budget or about our CIP, the capital improvement plan, and some of the growth that we're having in Stafford and how do we address that growth. So the last several years and this year included, we've done a lot more to try to get that community involved and inform them. And we do need them to communicate those needs to the Board of Supervisors as well. The Board of Supervisors really has been a great partner over the last few years with funding these additional schools and trying to catch up our operating budget as well. One of the areas that we're still focusing on now is our 3R list. So our think about how do we maintain our current buildings? So not the growth, but how do we maintain them? And we need about $20 million plus a year there. And right now we only have about $7 or $8 million a year.
Chris Fulmer, Jason Tower, we got to do this more. This is fascinating. Just talking about this. So we will make sure we do this more. Thanks for what you do, and
thank you for having us.
This was great stuff. Thank you, Jason Tower, Chris Fulmer from Stafford County Schools. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.